said, the text this morning from John is Jesus preparing his disciples for his departure. He knows that his death, after a horrible trial, agonizing death, is going to be a very traumatic experience for his disciples. They are accustomed to having him right beside them, teaching them, and telling them basically what they need to do and when. And he's going to leave them. And he knows, even as he is speaking to them at this time, that they are going to be so scared that they'll run away from him. He knows that Peter will betray him by saying, "I don't know this man." And yet, Jesus is so filled with love and compassion for these men that he wants to give them reassurance and say, "It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay." Even before they can understand the full reality of what is about to happen, Jesus knows it and is wanting to tell them, "You will not be alone." And his choice of words in this passage strikes me. He says, "You will not be orphaned." That's a strong word. You will not be orphaned. I can't imagine what it's like to be an orphan. I can't begin to imagine it. But my mother was. And I know that it affected her entire life. She was always filled with insecurity, with the fear that somebody she loved would abandon her. And she would be alone again. She was afraid to love too much or too deeply, because if she did, then she could be hurt oh so much. She lived in terror that my father would die before she did. And unfortunately, he did. Jesus understands that fear of losing your guide, losing your security, losing that thing that gives your life meaning and hope and joy and everything that makes it worth living. And Jesus wants his disciples to know, "I'm not abandoning you. I'm going to be with you every step of the way." And it struck me as I was driving here today, I had written this lovely sermon that was all very theological and theoretical, but the real story is that we all face these times when our life is turned totally upside down and everything we knew goes out the window. Sometimes it's by our own choice, because we go look for a new job and that means we have to relocate. We're going to have to start all over again, making friends, building a home. And sometimes our jobs are yanked out from underneath us. Everything we knew we had, everything we thought we were going to do is gone. I was going to be a teacher for the rest of my life. I had my house. I knew where I was going to be. I had it all figured out. I could shut off half the house. I could live on the main floor. There was a place for a ramp when I got too old and too crippled to walk up and down the steps. I had it all figured out. I was going to have that teacher's retirement. I was set. And then my teaching position was cut. And I was too experienced and too educated. No school wanted to hire me because it would cost them too much money. It didn't matter if I was a good teacher or not. Nobody wanted me. So there I was, 40-something, wondering what in the heck I was going to do with the rest of my life. It was an amazing experience for me. I wasn't terribly gifted spiritually, although I did go to church. I wasn't on my knees praying about all of this. But somehow or another, I knew the entire time I was unemployed, which was over a year, that I was not alone. It was something I couldn't put my hands on, and I still can't explain it. But I did not doubt, I did not fear, I knew there was something that God wanted me to do, and I would be okay. And this was in the face of the fact that I had 2 sons in college, or 1 in a high school, senior in high school, getting ready to go to college, and 1 already in college. God was with me. A lot of you have had times like that, when you thought everything was set to go, and it just went out the window. But God does not abandon us, even when it feels like the rest of the world has abandoned us. Ministers come and ministers go, unfortunately. You put all your eggs in one basket and you think, wow, we got this great minister, we love him. Church is growing, everything looks great. They leave. They just leave. I would like to believe that they leave because they feel God calling them to someplace else. And they're sticking their necks out and taking a risk and saying, okay, God, you want me to go there? Well, I don't quite get it, but all right. I'll go to this new church. I'll start all over again. My family will pull up their roots. They'll start all over again with me. We'll pick up and we'll move. So it's not done without a lot of forethought and without some intervention from God. And in the meantime, the congregation is left in transition. And more transition. And you begin to wonder, will this ever end? But God has not abandoned you. God is still here in this place with you, going on this journey. And this is a journey that's going to take you places you've never dreamed of before. Because that Holy Spirit picks us up, jerks us around, whether we like it or not, and sometimes turns us in 360-degree circles till we can't see straight and sets us off in a whole new direction. It's not where we might have chosen to go, but you know what? God did. God saw the potential in each of us here, and then God says, I got an idea. This group can do great things for me, and I'm going to have them do it. Might take some work on my part to get him to go that direction. But if I can, we can do it. We can do it together. And so in this time of transition, it's more important than ever that you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now I know that's something Presbyterians don't talk about a whole lot. When I was a kid growing up in the mountains, we had revivals. Any of you ever go to revivals? And you had altar calls. I answered an altar call so full of what I believed to be the Spirit. And I came back to the pew, and my mother leaned over and says, "We don't do that kind of stuff." Talk about the frozen chosen. And so it's not something Presbyterians are necessarily comfortable with, but by golly, that Holy Spirit's there whether we like it or not. And by gum, when that Holy Spirit comes along and goes, we better listen. We gotta listen. And that's what that PNC is striving so hard to do right now. They've got this pile of dossiers, and they're going to get more piles of dossiers, and they're going to read through them, and it's not going to be an intellectual pursuit at all. They'll try to make it intellectual. They'll have their checklists. But when it comes right down to it, they're going to have to rely a whole lot on that thing called the Holy Spirit. And when they do that, and when the ministers on the other end of the dossiers does the same thing, amazing, wonderful things can happen. And that whole thing is called a call. This congregation is seeking to call someone, and someone out there is looking for a congregation who will call them. And in the middle of all of that is God's almighty hand reaching down to touch various pastors, saying, throw your dossier their direction. Go on, go on. And then there's the PNC at this end reading through these dossiers, getting bleary-eyed late at night. And then they'll decide who they want to listen to on their sermon tapes. And they'll listen to those, and pretty soon they're all going to go, oh. And they're just starting. And there will be one person who speaks to their very soul. And it won't be just one or two of them that go, yeah, I kind of like this one. It'll be the whole PNC that's going to go, yeah. Ah, yeah. I think we've found the right one. We have not been abandoned. We are not orphans. Because God sends the Holy Spirit in this particular passage called the Advocate, which sounds very official. But the Advocate is the Comforter, is another way of translating it. And outside our little bit of a pericope, it calls this Comforter, this Advocate, the Holy Spirit. And it's just not committees and not just ministers who feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. The possibility of feeling that Holy Spirit is open to every last one of you. And it's not just in moments of fear and transition. God can be there in those moments of joy as well. I stood on a mountaintop in eastern Kentucky one day. This was before I was even very religious. If I am now, I'm not sure. I was standing there on that mountaintop, and if you've been down the mountains, you know exactly what I mean. I know John's been down there. The fog covers the bottoms. So you're standing up on the mountain, and when you woke up this morning, you were down there in the fog. And you drive up or will hike up to the mountaintop, and you look out, and you can see all of the mountain. You can see the sunshine above you, and you look down below you, and it's just one big swamp of fog. And then all of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, those clouds go, the fog is riz. The fog actually rises in one fell swoop in a most breathtaking action that you can ever imagine. And you know without a doubt, even if you're not religious, God is. God surely is in this place. And there have to be moments, maybe not that dramatic, but moments like that are possible in every single person's life because this Holy Spirit is an equal opportunity spirit. You don't have to be holy. You just have to be human. You don't have to be a hero. You just have to know how to listen. And that Holy Spirit will be there. Maybe it's just a whisper. Maybe it's just a sense that, yeah, there's somebody here. Can't see him. A feeling of peace in the middle of chaos. Feeling all stressed out before an exam and all of a sudden, in the middle of a chaotic airport when you're not sure whether you're going to catch your flight or not. Suddenly there's a flight delay. And you make that flight. You're down to the last minute before you have to move out of your house and move to a new place. And boom, the door opens and you have a new place to live. It doesn't say God on it. If we're sensitive to it, we know that that's the door God is opening for us to go through. So I invite you today, forget your frozen chosen Presbyterians and open yourself to the power of that almighty, wonderful, unpredictable Holy Spirit. And may you be filled to overflowing, now and always. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, truth divine, enter our minds, our hearts. Fill us with your truth, that we may know you, feel you, and be confident that you love us and walk with us every single step of our lives. And may we always praise you and love you for your presence. Amen.